Thanks for joining us today on Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer, and I am with Katie Townsend today, the HELP Program Coordinator. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, and thanks for having me here in the school district offices.
So this has been the district office for a really long time. We're at the Highway 101 location. It turned into the Compass Center for Youth and Families, or Centro Brújula para Jóvenes y Familias. So our HELP Center for the Newport area is located at this site, and we have similar sites in Newport or in Lincoln City, Walport, and Toledo.
So we are in one of the HELP centers right now.
Correct.
You'll have to forgive me, Katie. I have a lot to learn. And, you know, I think maybe keeping it simple today is a good place to start because I assume there are some people who don't know what the HELP centers are. So you have completely taken over this location.
Yes, we have. There are some other school district groups that are located on site. We have the school district nurses and the communications coordinator and some ESD staff that provide services to our students, but the downstairs is a family resource center.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting. We have bilingual staff here that also speak Spanish, and we also have some community agencies that have office space here, Child Care Resource and Referral, and Safe Families for Children.
Wow.
We have a bilingual preschool in the building. Great things going on to help families get access to resources and all to support students getting their education.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, we'll dive more into the services, but let's just jump back for a second, Katie. How long have you been the HELP coordinator, and maybe take us a little farther back? I mean, when did you get started in helping kids, helping families? Does that predate the HELP centers too?
Yeah, it does. It's been an interesting journey. I grew up here in Lincoln County, went to high school in Newport. And I went off to school thinking that I was going to do international studies and just kind of went down a path of social services instead. I worked at a domestic violence shelter, a homeless youth shelter, in after school programs and migrant education down in the Rogue Valley, and saw the opportunity for a homeless outreach coordinator in my home community here in Lincoln County, and applied for the position in 2010, and just really had a heart for helping students and families here locally. And it's been just a great opportunity over the last 9.5 years to connect with the community, get the community connected to families, providing support services through our 4 HELP centers that are through Lincoln County School District.
So back in 2010,
I was working down in the Rogue Valley, and I moved here to take the position to work with the homeless youth. That's when we partnered actually with the county, the Commission on Children and Families, supported with funding. And we went from having just 2 people providing homeless outreach services for all of Lincoln County to having 4 homeless outreach workers, 1 in each of the 4 areas of the county, and myself as the coordinator.
Got
and then we
you.
Launched these HELP centers that would be safe, stable places for families to come and get resources. And we started building in extracurricular programs and tutoring and preschool programs. So that happened in 2010. That's when we only knew that there was about 411 children facing homelessness in our county. And we've gotten better at identifying families over the years that are facing this hardship, but also seeing a rise in the number of students that are facing homelessness. And so this last school year is 1,112 children in Lincoln County alone that had at least unstable housing for 1 night during the school year.
Yeah, unbelievable. For me, recently seeing those numbers, I said, well, I've got to talk to Katie. She's going to help me solve the problem. Of course, we know there are so many aspects to fixing this, and I don't think necessarily we'll figure it out in the next 15 minutes. It's interesting to have you talk about that passed, because I do remember the Commission on Children and Families. And how do we describe what happened to the commission?
The governor came in and decided to do away with the Commission on Children and Families, even though the one in Lincoln County was highly successful. But across the state, that went away, and then they switched to a different model. And so they have funds that go into an early learning hub, and then there is also a funding mechanism that's youth development fund for the older children. So some of those services are still being carried out throughout Lincoln County. It just looks different.
Can you look back to a moment or your upbringing? I mean, what drives you to work in this area?
It's interesting because I look back now and I can think through friends that I had in middle school and high school that faced homelessness or didn't have a stable place to go. And I think just seeing firsthand the struggles that friends from that time or people that I worked with in the shelters, the compounded struggles that they faced, the barriers that just kind of wrapped around them, and seeing that there are ways to help, there are ways to support people. It's complex and tricky, but there's a lot of people who are isolated. So the more we can get people connected to support systems, to resources, so they can get out of that and rise above and do better in life, I think is definitely, for me, a motivating factor. I don't think there's any one moment that took place. It was just kind of a transition. I took different positions and it led me different ways, and just saw the impact that others were making and these agencies were making. And just knowing that there was the opportunity to do that kind of work in my own community was inspiring. And I was mentored by Santila McKinley. She really was the vision behind the HELP program.
Cool.
She had this idea of what it would look like, and it was really about people coming together to help other people, that the HELP centers would be a place to both go and get help, but also be of help. And so creating pathways for the community to help with our various programs, or to volunteer, to run family nights, to help with clothing closets, that we all have a place, we all have something to give, that parents have an opportunity to give as well, students have a place to give. So just kind of coming together, working together, and making sure that no one feels alone. I think that's really important, that a lot of times people's struggles can be compounded by isolation. So if we can get people connected and to have support networks, to be, whether it's plugging a student into the Junior Optimist Club at school and helping them get into the music program, and then they're making those connections at school, they're feeling supported, getting their parents connected with resources in the community as well. Really, it's bringing community together.
I thought about McKinley, and she was your mentor, and she went on to open Seashore. What an amazing pathway there.
She opened Seashore Family Literacy, and that was really the model of the HELP centers. So that came first, and then trying to expand that. So we have our HELP centers that are now located in school district buildings, but how do we bring community in still to those spaces and provide supports to students? Yeah, she was great. She would do a lot of outreach, and she would go into trailer parks and lay down blankets and bring food and books and just connect with students and families and help them navigate school and overcome barriers that they faced. So
amazing.
Yep, amazing lady.
Well, we are talking to Katie Townsend. She is the HELP program coordinator. We're going to take our first break. Thanks for joining us today on Connections, and we'll be right back. Before our first break with Katie, we talked about your history, Katie, your work, for example, as a homeless coordinator, your mentorship with Santila McKinley. I feel that you're a compassionate and empathetic person. I think there's a lot of administrative and systems work that you have to do.
There are all the behind the scenes and actually legal requirements. So our program is guided by the McKinney-Vento Act, which is the federal act that guarantees homeless students access to their educational experience. So that was passed in 1987. It's been revamped several times. And basically what we have to do is identify students in what the federal government defines as homeless. So we're looking at, what is this student's living situation? Is it unstable? Is it lacking fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence? And then getting them connected with resources so that despite all that instability at home, they have stability at school and an opportunity to get their education. We work in August during registration, and we have homeless outreach workers that are helping to identify families, and they can be in a category of staying at a local shelter or being unsheltered, which means that they are living in a place that's not set up for human habitation, camping, a vehicle. We have a lot of families that are in vehicles camping right now, staying in a storage unit, or being overcrowded or substandard living. Another category is staying in a hotel or motel due to lack of alternative accommodations. And then the fourth category is doubled up due to economic hardship or loss of housing or some similar reasons. So we're identifying families as being in one of those different situations, and then having to go through the process of letting them know what their rights and services are under the McKinney-Vento Act. So if a student loses their housing and they have to move to a different community, we look at, can we keep that student in the same school despite the fact that they're moving around? They're camping one week here, staying on this person's couch the next week. Now they're in a shelter. How do we keep school stable for them? So we'll set up bus transportation and go through that process of submitting our request to our bus company and kind of tracking with the student if they're leaving and living in different situations and resubmitting forms if they move to a different location. We get them connected with school supplies. So one of our, you know, to be very efficient, we'll put on a back to school event and we'll invite families to come in and get a backpack full of school supplies. So we're seeing, you know, large numbers of people coming through our spaces and our buildings or through our community partner sites to go and get their backpacks. We help with things like school fees, immunizations. We get them connected on wait lists for, or hopefully straight into programs for preschool or after school programs, or they get priority on wait lists for not having that stable housing.
Yes.
So sometimes there can be a lot of paperwork behind the scenes, different, you know, working with each family to try to get them the resources they need.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, then we have grant writing to help continue funding these different programs and making sure that we're turning in our grant reports and tracking the success of different families and their students and looking at chronic absenteeism, dropout rates, and all of those things.
Well, and I appreciate you taking us through this because you have these reporting requirements, right?
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, it's a lot of data to manage. And I imagine that does take up a big chunk of the time, too. Do you find yourself immersed in that?
Working for a school district, there's always going to be a certain amount of, you know, paperwork and kind of formalities that you have to go through. Every student that we identify is a call or a home visit. And so it takes time to make those connections, find out what resources families want or need. Everything that we offer is voluntary. So we might have families that want the whole gamut of services. And we might have families that say, not at this time, but thank you. I'll reach out later if I need something. The data just helps lead us to the families, but then there's some, you know, reporting requirements and getting different things in. And there are days where I'm just wish I didn't have so much paperwork to bog through right now. But a good percentage of our time is doing that work of being in the trenches, working with students and families, being in the schools, doing home visits. Every day looks very different in this kind of world.
Sometimes I've heard people say, I don't want to take the services from somebody else. How do you work that dance in the way you communicate to people by saying that it's okay, you know, that we can do this for you?
That's a good point. And one of the things we try actually not to use the word homeless when we're working with families.
Okay.
We talk about how a lot of families struggle with housing instability or not having adequate housing. Helps them feel a sense of they're not alone. We are in a community where there's not a lot of affordable housing. The inventory is very low. A lot of our jobs are seasonal, low paying to support the tourist industry. Just helping families to understand they're not alone, that we had 17% of our student population faced some sort of homelessness or housing instability at some point last school year. So that's almost one in five students.
Yeah.
So we start there, then just let them know these resources are available to you. Some of them are rights under the McKinney-Vento Act. So, you know, helping with things like transportation or helping with school fees, like we want to help make sure that there's no barrier. Because sometimes if that parent says, you know, I don't want to take that resource to help with my son playing basketball. We want to make sure that all kids that want to play get that opportunity to play that sport. Because for that child, that might be their connection to school. That might be what motivates them and excites them. And then they go and they're getting their math and their science and their reading class. So I feel like we have a generous community. So like if we say we need more binders, you know, the community steps up and we end up with more binders to help get kids the things that they need. So I don't feel like we're facing running out of those kind of tangible goods or other things to help with fees and services.
Oh, I'm glad that's the case because, you know, with these kinds of numbers, it just seems like that it would be tough sometimes to get what you need.
It is. It's staggering. I mean, I think looking at the state report, Oregon Department of Education released the state numbers for every school district in the state of Oregon. There's 198 districts. Out of 198 districts, Lincoln County is very high, always very high. Number five for the number of students in pre-K through 12th grade that faced homelessness. So that's compared to like Portland Public and Beaverton and these really large metropolis areas. We were number seven for the number of kids who were unaccompanied homeless youth. We had 137 kids that were homeless without the supervision of a parent or guardian. And then we were number nine for the percentage of the student population. So 17% of our student population faces housing instability. And actually, I looked deeper at the numbers and extracted this. It was shocking to me. We were number one for the number of students who were in the category of unsheltered. So we had 209 students. They were car camping or they were staying living in a campground or in a building or that didn't have utilities or maybe had mold or infestations, in a trailer that's highly mobile. So that was nearly double the second highest district. Portland Public had 109 students that were in that unsheltered category. I've never seen the data in that way, laid out that way. So we have a lot of students that are in some pretty tough living situations.
Yes. Thanks for those numbers. And it is. It's just hard to believe that this is the way it is here in Lincoln County. We're talking to Katie Townsend. She is the HELP program coordinator. We'll be back in just a moment on Connections. Stay with us. Katie Townsend, HELP program coordinator. You don't have housing resources, and that may be something people think that you offer.
We are the HELP program, so we're helping students get connected to education despite having unstable housing. So we do not provide housing, but we point families towards some of the different housing resources or shelter programs in our community. We have amazing community partners out there, and they all need, we need more housing, we need more affordable housing, we need more shelter programs, we need more shelter slots. I would definitely say supporting those community partners and helping grow new innovative ideas for our community would be fabulous.
If I want to volunteer for the HELP centers, what can I do?
I would say the first step would be to connect with our community connections coordinator. She's housed at the Compass Center for Youth and Families, which is the old district office on 101.
Okay.
Her name is Jetta Pierce. Her phone number is 541-574-9419. She can take people through the process of how to get signed up to be a volunteer or a community partner and go through the training. And then we have opportunities to get involved in each of the four HELP centers. So if you're in Lincoln City, we have a HELP center at Taft Elementary, a HELP center at Toledo High School, a HELP center down at Walport High School, and then here in Newport at the Compass Center.
Okay.
And so there's tons of volunteer opportunities based off of people's time availability, their talents, if they'd rather work with preschoolers or high school students. We have the whole gamut. We could always use more. I really say relationship is what changes lives. And so if we can get our students connected with more of those positive adult mentors in settings like a tutoring club or an after-school career readiness program or to be an Aspire mentor to help kids get ready for college or post-secondary, that is really a potential to create a huge impact and help change the trajectory of a student's life.
If we make those financial donations as well, where will those dollars go?
If you go to the Lincoln County School District's website, there's a tab that talks about to get involved and then donate. We have it set up so that people can donate to the HELP program in general or HELP program by area. So if you're like, I'm from this area of the county and I want it to go to North Lincoln County or East Lincoln County, it can go into that pot. So it's designated by area. You can write in the memo line if there's something that, like, I really love to support the tutoring program or the career program. You can write in the memo line if you have a particular interest of where you want that to go. Otherwise, it goes so that we can do things like go buy a pair of shoes so that this student has a nice warm new pair of shoes that their toes aren't poking out of. Or we have a donor that contributes specifically to the Joy Project and helps with the career readiness program. Joy is job opportunities for youth. And we could always use more funding for that program so we have more slots to prepare our high school students for careers and jobs and post-secondaries. I would love to chat more with donors too about just what they're passionate about and how to match that with the needs of our students. Even if it's someone who can't volunteer, helping to fund positions so that we can get more adults connecting with our students.
Awesome, Katie. And I know we've really just kind of like scratched the surface on everything you do here. Kudos to the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Katie Townsend, thanks for joining us today. We'll have her on the show again. And yes, maybe I can interview more people here at the Compass Center, bring more of what the HELP program is doing for our community on future shows. We'll see you same time, same place next week on Connections.